Heart's pastor here. So from time to time, I get the chance to speak. And to give you a little bit of context, I also speak weekly to a group of high school students back here in our warehouse space. And about once a month, I speak to a group of students at some of the local high schools where I am a motivational speaker because I cannot use the Bible. But the Bible is motivational, and everything I say comes from the Bible. I just don't tell them that. So, but I have the largest group at South Central, and we pile into a small gym, and kids sit on the floor and sit all over the bleachers there, and I get to entertain them with some music and speak to them about a lot of the same things that we talk about on Mondays. So today we are going to start talking for 3 weeks about hope. I'm going to try to move this thing so there's not so much wind. Okay, so we're going to spend 3 weeks talking about hope. And right in the middle of these 3 weeks, we have Hope Together Sunday, which is an outreach. So we've geared Hope Together on purpose to bring people who need hope, who may not realize they need hope, who may realize they need hope, but may not realize that Jesus is the hope that they need. And so we've been very intentional, and you guys have been inviting and praying for people. And so I'm going to start us off today just talking about hope, and then we'll continue on. Today I wanted to really approach this from maybe a different angle. And the most appropriate title I could find was Surrounded by Hope. And so today I want to mention how it is that you and I are surrounded by hope, even when we may not know it's there. And we all need hope. It is the very thing that drives us forward. It's the very thing that keeps us. And hope is a very rich and a very deep subject. And I will try to scratch the surface today. But I wanted to take the approach of thinking in terms of a timeline. And we have history. We have the present where we are in the line of history. And then we have our future in front of us. And this concept of being surrounded by hope, I want you to picture that behind you, before you, in time, hope, a path has been laid and paved for us. And then where we stand today in the present, we have hope surrounding us, within us, and then before us, down this yellow brick road of hope, we have something that drives us and keeps us grounded. And so thinking in terms of time, behind, now, and before, we are surrounded by hope. And so I wanted to unpack that a little bit today. And first, I wanted to start with point number one, hope is before. So I want to tell you a story about my wife's granddad who recently passed away. And his son's here, my in-laws. So I'm going to try to hold it together here. But he was an amazing individual. He was a World War II vet, and there's not many of them left. But he had some incredible stories to tell about his service in the Army Air Corps and how he served in World War II. Thank you for that. Lord bless them wherever they're going. He didn't really talk about his time in the war till really recently and in his later life. And he found a lot of freedom and hope in talking about it. And he shared with middle schools and high schools and elementary schools what he had done and what he'd been through and inspired a lot of people through that. But at his funeral, I heard a story that I was unaware of that was really inspiring. And my wife, I don't know, 5-7 years ago, you know, 6 years ago, she began to investigate, because we had interviewed him, which you should do if you have grandparents and they don't have long. You know, we interviewed him and videoed him because we don't want to forget where we've come from and what he's done. And he began to mention, you know, some medals that he believed he was to be awarded and he never received. And so Carrie, my wife, began to dig into his records. And he was always told that his stuff was burned in a fire and they didn't have his records. And so she contacted some people at Seymour Johnson and they helped just dig up his records. And sure enough, the copies they gave us were burned, but you could still read them. But they had burn marks on them. And so she found information that he had never been able to find his entire life. And sure enough, he did have some medals that he never received, but he should have been awarded. You know, at this time, things were happening fast. You know, they would go on a mission, come back, you're going to be awarded this, but you got to go. You know, so they didn't always have these ceremonies and have time to make sure stuff got done. And so we had a ceremony planned for him at Seymour Johnson 6 years ago where he was awarded medals from World War II that he had never been awarded. It was really a moving time. And there was his pastor at the time was there, and there was a chaplain from the base, and they had brought servicemen struggling with PTSD to the base to see him and just to be inspired and really receive hope from him and from his story. So after the ceremony, he's talking with Air Force servicemen now, and they're asking him questions. I mean, they're like kids in candy store, just asking him questions. He's talking about his missions. He's talking about World War II. And there was a chaplain there who was assigned to these guys who were struggling. And his pastor at the time was just kind of in awe, taking it all in. And the chaplain turned and looked and said, "He gives me hope." And the context of that is the people that, you know, I'm trying to minister to are struggling because they don't know where they can go from here. But here's a man in his 80s who has a wife and kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, and he's smiling and he's laughing, and he made it. He made it through World War II. He made it through, you know, post-traumatic stress when they didn't even really talk about it or know what it was. And here he is. He's a survivor, if you will. And he thrived. And he said, "He gives me hope." And I love the idea of that, because we receive hope from people who have gone before us. To know if they can do it, and so can I. If they can make it, then maybe I can get out of bed today. And you know, the thing is, I brought a book. This was a little prayer, scripture book. It's called Daily Food. Man, he took this on every mission. And what, you know, this chaplain may not have known was not only had he gone before physically, and here's an example, but he had somebody who had gone before him, you know, and written about in Scripture. And he kept it with him. And he had hope before him in the person of Jesus. And so how much more, if we receive inspiration and we receive this just wellspring of hope from people who go before us, how much more can we pull from the person in God himself, Jesus, hope in the fact that he became human, that he became one of us, and that he walked in our shoes and he walked in our place. Hebrews 6 makes an incredible statement. I'm going to read 16 through 20. It says, "People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath." Let's skip down to 19. "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, Verse 20, where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Where our forerunner, Jesus, he has gone before us and he has walked in our shoes. And not only that, he lived the life that you and I should have lived, but he lived it in our place. So I'm talking about more than just an example. I'm talking about a forerunner who did what we could not do for ourselves. And if that does not give us hope to say, if he can do it, not only that, he did it for me, then I have something here that will keep me moving forward in my purpose, in my calling, and in my destiny. See, hope is a desire of some good accompanied with at least slight expectation of obtaining it. It's a belief that it's obtainable. It's not wishful thinking. It's not, you know, just a desire or a thought. Hope is anchored to an expectation that I know. And we can know that before us, Jesus has paved the way for a sinless life, to be right before our Heavenly Father, to overcome trials. He faced temptation. There is nothing that Jesus did not face. Or let me say it this way. There's nothing that you and I can face that Jesus did not face before us. That is a forerunner. Hebrews 4:15 even says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. We have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. And this idea that he's a forerunner that has entered on our behalf, how is that? How has he entered on our behalf? You see, whether it's temptation that you face, Jesus faced it. Whether it's hardship, whether it's despair, whether it is rejection, Jesus has already faced it. Maybe it's some type of trial. Maybe you are without finances or without health. Jesus faced it on our behalf, and he's gone before us. And that, brothers and sisters, gives us hope. It gives us hope. You know, the idea of Jesus on our behalf is kind of, it's rooted in the theology of propitiation, which is a really cool, exciting sounding word. But what it means is that there's a sacrifice that Jesus made, and it acts as an atonement before God, to assuage his wrath, to turn him away from wrath and make him propitious towards us or favorable towards us. So because of Jesus, God the Father can look on us favorably. Not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. There is no other religion that makes that claim. There is nothing else that says, I will come down and do it for you in your place. That is hope. And that is a hope that is before us that will keep us going. And Jesus said in John 16, I've told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. And so not only has he gone before us, but he's gone before us in our place. Number two, hope. We have a hope that is with us. It is present. It is now. That's encouraging. Colossians 1:24 says, now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. Paul is talking here. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have a hope that is inside of us. We have Christ through the Holy Spirit dwelling within us if we are Christians. And that is a resource and a wellspring of hope that is now. That we have something before us that has paved the way. But not only that, God goes the extra mile and he says, I'm going to give you something that stays with you wherever you go. A hope within you by the Holy Spirit. John Wesley calls this the ground of our hope. When I read that, I thought, you know, this is like the gift. Christ in us gives us the very stability for all of our footing. It is the present reality that sustains us in all things. There's a presence that dwells with us at all times. There's access to the power of God through the Spirit living inside of us as new creatures. You ever given somebody a really nice gift and they were too young to really get it or too whatever? And you're like, no, try again. Reopen that and react again. Spend a lot of money on that. I remember we made this little scavenger hunt because we were going to a conference with our network of churches, and the conference was conveniently in Orlando at a Disney hotel. So we were going to take the kids. And we just set up this elaborate, awesome way to tell them, kids, your dreams are coming true. We're going to see Mickey in the flesh. And when they come to the end of the gift and they open it, we're going to Disney World, you know, and they're, you know, cameras are out, cameras rolling. And it's just, what are we having for dinner? Wait, what? You know, I mean, they may scream a little, but, you know, it's just like, on to the next thing. It's like, whoa, go back. Let's do this again. Do you understand? You know, I've talked to students. I've prayed with them to receive Christ. I'm like, you got the Holy Spirit now. Great. It's nice. You know, you don't get it. You know, and I think we really don't get it. We have the hope of glory, Christ in us. You know, if there are any geeks in here, like me, I'm included. I like the Lord of the Rings trilogy. It's a great, great trilogy. And there are more things in the book than are able to be put into the movies. But there's a scene in the first movie, the Fellowship. And as they're going through this place, Moria, Frodo, who is, you know, the crux of the story in this band of brothers, this fellowship around him to keep him safe, to accomplish the mission of destroying the One Ring and saving Middle-earth. They're on their journey in their way. And Frodo had an uncle named Bilbo, who he admired and looked up to. It was kind of his hope before him. Bilbo had gone through all of these adventures and had stories to tell. And Bilbo gave him the ring and gave him many things that he found on his adventures. One of the things that Bilbo gave his nephew was a coat of mail. Now, I don't know if you know what a coat of mail is. It's you know what it is. It's basically an armor made of metal rings, right? A coat of metal rings. You've seen it. Not like mail, like in the mailbox. But these metal rings and the whole thing is made of that. But in Middle Earth, they had a metal called mithril that was 10,000 times more precious, stronger, lighter than gold, silver, any metal we could conceive of. And Bilbo gave this coat of mail to Frodo. And he wore it on the journey underneath his clothes, but he didn't tell anybody. And when they're going through Moria, some of the companions begin to talk about this coat of mail that Bilbo had. And you know, Frodo's ears perk up, and he's like, I'm wearing it now, but nobody knows. And they begin to talk about it, and Gandalf, the leader, he says, you know, I never told Bilbo that that thing was worth more than his entire country. And Frodo's like, and you don't see it in the movie, but in the book, he grabs his side, and he's like, what? I had no clue. And you know, this is maybe similar to how Jesus dwells within us, and we receive a gift, which that coat of mail was mentioned as a kingly gift. We receive this kingly gift, this stamp and this adoption and this approval and this seal called the Holy Spirit in us. And it's worth more than the entire universe. And we possess this power and this hope and this source inside of us. And he's never, never absent. And that is where we receive hope. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. I love how he says, the Father has qualified us to share. Some translations say to partake in or to join in the inheritance of the saints. This is the Holy Spirit in us. Through the Holy Spirit, we have been qualified to partake in the power and the riches of the kingdom. And God has fit us for heaven. But not only that, Matthew Henry says, observe, all who are designed for heaven hereafter are also prepared for heaven now. So not only have we been given a promise before us, he says, no, you have been equipped now. It is both. You are prepared for heaven in the future, in the hereafter, but you have been prepared now, meaning we have access to a power. We have access to, through faith, to a source that can move mountains here. We have access to hope that when we get up and we don't see a way, we can see a way. We have access to the Holy Spirit and to an inheritance. And we can dip into this stuff and grab it out and say, no, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. We have it in us. We're walking around with it if you've been born again. And it's time that we look at it and it's time that we use it. He's prepared us. And this leads to my final point, that we have a hope that is eternal, that is in front of us. We're surrounded by hope today. Ephesians 1:18 and 19 says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Look, there are a lot of philosophies and religions that give semi-answers to where we are, but very few promise the hope that Christianity does for this life and the next. Seems like usually it's one or the other with most philosophies. But Jesus and Christianity gives us everything. Everything we need before us, with us now, and in our future. Hope has been referred to as a continual looking forward to the eternal world. We have another home, and that, friends, that is where our hope is anchored. And that is why the anchor to the soul cannot be moved, because it is anchored to an eternal reality. That when all else fades and all else fails, that thing, that eternal reality will still be standing. And that is where my hope, and that is where your hope lies and rests. It is the foundation of all foundations. It is the word of God spoken. It is the eternal realm that we cannot see that will go on forever. Our hope is anchored there. And when everything else melts, when everything else fades, including our health, including our finances, including what we see, including this earth, we have an anchor still standing and still stuck in an eternal existence and in a promise that goes on forever. Now, I know when many of us begin to think about eternity, we might, I don't know, get reminded of standing in some pews when we're little singing these songs about flying away or being in glory land. And it's nice to think about, but you're like, we have stuff to do now. You know, that's great, and we'll get there. But we have stuff to do now, and that's right. But before you, and I've heard this, hey, look, brother, we can't be so heavenly-minded that we're of no earthly good. Let me help you understand that it is by being heavenly-minded that we are earthly good. It is the only way, because we're talking about being anchored to something that is more real than the air we breathe. You know, I think it's too easy to say, that's great and all, but look, give me something tangible. Looking forward to our eternal home with hope doesn't mean we leave this present world as it is. Looking forward and fixing our eyes on the hope we have forever doesn't mean we leave the world where we are now the same. It means that because we look forward and because we have another home, we make a difference here. We have a hope before us that causes us to do things differently. I love where C.S. Lewis says. He says, it's since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they've become so ineffective in changing culture. He said, aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth, you will get neither. We have to fix our eyes on the hope and the calling that we have been given. We have to fix. You know, it is the Christians who did that ultimately who have probably shaped history more than anybody. You can read about, I mean, the apostles themselves had a vast impact upon the Roman Empire. You have the slave trade abolished through English evangelicals. You have adoption just sweeping across the earth because of men and women who were born again. They said, if we were adopted by our Heavenly Father, then we should adopt orphans. And the earth has been changed because people have fixed their eyes on an eternal hope. There's nothing like the promise of another world to give us strength while we're on this side. There are so many hymns that I think speak well of looking ahead to where we are. I just picked one. I'll read a few of the lyrics written by Lewis Jones. It says, though the way we journey may be often drear, we shall see the King someday. On that blessed morning, clouds will disappear. We shall see the King someday. After pain and anguish, after toil and care, through the endless ages, joy and blessing share. After foes are conquered, after battles won, after strife is over, after set of sun, there with all the loved ones who have gone before, sorrow passed forever on that peaceful shore. We shall see the King someday, gathered round the throne when he shall call his own. We shall see the King someday. We're surrounded by hope. You know, some of you may be here and I don't know, you may feel like you've lost hope or feel like I don't see where I have anything to pull me out of where I am or see how. But, you know, even in darkness, hope is created. And if you really think about it, if all of life was perfect, what would be the need for hope? If there were no dips and no dark times and no trials and no struggles and nothing to rub us and to challenge us, where would there be hope? And it is in the dark, and it is in the trial, and it is in the struggle, and it is in the temptation. It is in the very hardships that we face where hope seems to grow and get stronger. And so I don't know where you are or what you may need to be encouraged through the hope we've been given in Christ with. But I want you to understand that even in the darkest place, hope is surrounding you. And God has gone the extra mile. He's gone before us. He's done what we could not do. He's overcome what we could not overcome on our behalf. And then he's given us a promised seal through his Holy Spirit to live and dwell within us and give us access to the riches of the inheritance of the saints now. And then he's promised us a home that will never fade, that will never fail, and we will see him face to face, and we will not face any other hardship, and we will worship him forever. And we have a hope that stands in front of us. And as dark as life may get, hope shines and burns all the brighter.